Let's talk a few minutes tonight about heart issues. Heart issues. In the physical, the heart obviously is the most vital of organs. Heart trouble, heart problems, heart disease kills hundreds and thousands of people every year. If you have heart trouble, you can have all types of symptoms. It affects other parts of your body, other organs. It affects even your physical strength, your ability to breathe, just about everything about your physical body is affected if you have physical heart problems. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, most of the time it's not talking about this organ that pumps the blood. It's talking about your spiritual heart. It's talking about the spiritual being. Dealing with the most vital thing in your life, and that is your heart condition, your spiritual heart condition. As I was going through a lot of verses on this topic, that old song came to my mind that we just sang. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Glory to God. Do you understand that there's a New Testament, there's a lot of New Testament verses that talk about what takes place whenever a person becomes a Christian? Wonderful verses, and I won't spend a lot of time on these verses, but one is in Titus 3 and 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's such an important doctrine of the New Testament, the doctrine of regeneration. What takes place when a person is truly born again of the Spirit? Your spiritual man is renovated, regenerated, given life. There's just a transformation, a restoration, a turnaround. A whole new life. When you use the phrase, that person has had a change of heart. When you say that, you're saying they have changed their direction. They've changed their attitude. They've changed who they are, what they have been, and now they've taken a new course in life when they've had a change of heart. That can't happen very easily. You can try to reform yourself. You can try to do better. And many times people can make some changes and improve their life, but what they really need is a total regeneration, a work of the Spirit of God that changes your heart, the heart issue. An Old Testament verses that really describe, it's really a clear description of what the Lord does whenever He comes into your heart. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. He said, a new heart also what I give you, and a new spirit. So you can see that it's not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about a new heart and a new spirit. That it's a spiritual change that takes place in your life. I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. The stony heart that's just, it's just death. Can't be affected, can't be moved, never, not responsive. That's the way you are when you're in trespasses and sin. When you're bound in your sin, and maybe this might help you to understand what's going on with people who are lost that you're concerned about. You talk to them, and you may have said something like, it's just like talking to a brick wall or a rock wall. That's exactly what's going on. Because they have a heart that's stone cold to spiritual things. And only God can cause them to be changed. Only God can turn them from that condition that they're in. The wonderful change that comes into your life is a heart issue. Amen. I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And so what the scripture is saying is that when you have a spiritual heart problem, that the only answer is Jesus, the great physician, and his power to convict you and to deal with you and turn your hard, stony heart into a heart of flesh that will become responsive and interested in the things of God. I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. When you have a heart change, it changes everything about your life. It causes you to take a new path, to love new things, to desire new things. And all of these things bring glory and honor to God. That's the transformation. But it begins in your heart. Before you're saved, your heart is cold. Your heart is unresponsive. It's disinterested in the things of God. Amen. If you're not interested in the Bible, if you're not interested in teaching and preaching, if you're not interested in reading the Bible, if you have no interest in God's Word, then you need to take another look at your heart. Take another look at your heart. You need to go back to that place of repentance and allow God to change your unresponsive, disinterested heart into a heart that loves the things of God. Amen. And I'm convinced that there's people that sit on the pews of churches all across this country every week, and they're just there out of duty. They don't really want to be there. They don't really love the house of God. They don't love the things of God. They're not interested in working for God. All they want to do is just put in their time. And for the most part, many of those people, their heart is hard toward the things of God. Their heart is not responsive. Their heart is not interested in spiritual things. And so the issue is the heart. And we, too oftentimes, we see the surface. We see the external problem. We see what's going on in a person's life. And we make judgments based upon that. But the reality is that the problem is very, very deep in the heart and the soul of that person. And so we react to the outward thing and we say, straighten up, do this, do that. But really, they don't have any capacity to do that. They don't have any ability to do that. They have no desire to do right or to do anything that pleases God. They have to have a heart change. They have to be turned around. And only God can do that. Now, whenever John the Baptist came on the scene, there's all kinds of religious people. There were, you know, doctors and lawyers and Pharisees and all of these religious rulers and scribes, and they all were very, very religious. But John's ministry was not at all on the surface. It wasn't surface at all. His ministry was to get to the real heart of the matter, to get to the real issue of what was going on. Luke 3 and 10. Now also the axe is laid to the root. That's what he was doing. He was going all the way to the root of the problem. The axe is laid to the root. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. If it wasn't bearing fruit, the problem was deep. It was very deep. And the only way to deal with it was this axe had to be laid to the root. And it was talking about the religious system of that day. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So he's dealing with a very, very deep issue in their life. And that was, they were self-consumed. They were only interested in themselves. They didn't see other people's problems as their problems. They just saw, that if they had a problem, or that was their own issue. But John was getting to the root of the problem and saying, you're selfish. You're wrapped up in your own life. And you have a religion, but it's a religion that is not of the heart. Because when the heart sees someone that's cold, the heart says, I want to help them. And if you've got an extra coat, you give it to them, because that's the heart that does that. He answered and said to them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. And these were also, you know, people who were religious people, who had a religious philosophy. And saith unto him, Master, what shall we do? They came to be baptized because that was something, that was a ritual that they could be, they could, you know, be, do something publicly, physically that everybody could see. But John was dealing with something that was much, much deeper than that. Not that baptism isn't important. It is. It's obedience to God, and it is important. But he said, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. The publicans were those Jews that had been delegated by the Roman government to take the taxes. And they were hated because they didn't just take all that was coming that should have been legally taken from them, but they would use their authority somewhat like we're experiencing today with the IRS. The publicans, they would take more. Most often they were rich. Remember Zacchaeus, who climbed up into that tree whenever he got saved. The way that we know he truly got saved was that when he came back, he said, I'm going to restore fourfold everything that I've taken from everybody. I've stolen and I've taken advantage of people, and Jesus has come to my house. He's come into my life, and I'm going to restore it all that I've stolen, even fourfold, four times as much as I have stolen. Zacchaeus really, really got saved. And so he's saying, you're a publican. What you need to do is you need to exact no more than you are supposed to take. Don't be dishonest. He's getting to the root, to the heart of the issue. And so there was those that came to him. And it says that even the soldiers, in verse 14, the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. What were their problems? They were just kind of being bullies. They were using their position as soldiers to take advantage of people. And on top of that, they weren't happy with their pay. They were discontented. And so he said, be content with what you're given. And don't take advantage of people. Be kind and generous and fulfill your role and your responsibility. The reason I went through all this is because I want you to be thinking about the fact that when your heart is changed, it changes your life. It changes your actions. It changes everything about you. Remember Jesus, whenever he dealt with the Pharisees, they were religious, but they wanted everything they did to be seen. They talked about their praying. They talked about their fasting. They talked about their giving. All of it, they did it publicly. They would stand on the street corner and pray so that everybody would see that they were praying. When they gave, they made sure that there were big announcements of their giving and symbols and all kinds of, they did all these things to be seen. When they fasted, they would come out looking all pitiful, like, we haven't had anything to eat in a while. But Jesus said, no, when you give secretly. When you pray, you go into your closet and pray. And when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face so you don't appear to be fasting. He was dealing with the root problem of those religious people, and that was their pride. Their pride. So when the heart is changed, everything is changed. Amen. Everything is changed in your life. There's a transformation that takes place in your life. We need to be reminded. I don't know exactly why all these things are on my mind here tonight, but I'm glad for just the real thing, old-fashioned salvation. That's the real thing. When God deals with you and he changes your life, and from the inside out. Now, if you pressure people to conform to some rule or some standard and they're not born again, then you really just do them a great disservice, because they fall into the same pattern of just religious obligation and just doing it out of obligation. What they need is a heart change. Amen. So they have a desire for God. They have a desire for the Word of God. They have a desire to be in the house of God. They desire spiritual things. They want to be used of the Lord. That's what happens when a person gets truly born again. Their heart is changed. Amen. I long to see that. Amen. And I think we have seen that going on in the lives of some people around here. And I'm so grateful for that. And I just believe that God is at work. But you need to remember that the Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is the most deceitful thing in your life. That's what it says, Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the tendency. That's the direction that it's easy for any of us to fall prey to that and to go that direction. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then the question, who can know it? Who can know the heart? Only God knows the heart. Only God. In the next verse it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Only God. The answer to the question, who knows the heart? Only God really knows the heart. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows the reality of our experience with God and the reality of whether or not we're truly living for God from our heart. And the heart is deceitful. It's easy to, you know, if you know that you're being deceived, then you're not being deceived. Deception, that's the nature of deception, is you're taken in and you don't know. And it's your heart. Your spiritual capacity is the area that's so easily taken in to the point that you think, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. Like I said, there are a lot of people across this country who go to church every Sunday, but their heart is deceived. They think that everything is okay and they're just fulfilling a duty. But in reality, God sees the heart. God sees the heart. That verse from Samuel that says that man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He sees the heart. We only can see what's going on outwardly in their life. But you can be sure that whatever is going on in their heart, it begins to reflect in their lifestyle. Whatever is going on in your heart, it begins to show up eventually in your life. That's why the psalmist was so concerned. Psalm 139, he said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. He understood how easy it is for the heart to be deceived. So when he went before the Lord, his prayer was, Lord, search me, know me, look at me, look deep into my heart, and see what I'm made of. Amen. You see, a person who talks wicked and uses bad language and dishonors the Lord by taking his name in vain, uses language that is just dishonoring to God and dishonoring to the things of God and the people of God, that's coming out of the heart, the depth of the heart of that person that needs to be regenerated, changed by the power of God. The psalmist David said, search me, know my heart, see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He was praying that prayer, Lord, I don't want to be taken in. I don't want to be deceived. I want you to lead me in the right pathway. Thank God for his honesty, his heart that was after God. And we know that when David was chosen over Saul to become king, he was chosen because God said, I want a man who has a heart after me. I want a man. And even though David failed, even though David was deceived and he was sinned, but whenever Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, you're the one that sinned. You're the very one. His eyes were deceived at that time. He was totally deceived by what had happened to him and thinking that he could just go on in his sin. But when Nathan pointed out his sin, then the Bible says that he confessed. He repented. He was a man after God's own heart, and he wanted to get back in that pathway of righteousness. He wanted to return to the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, if there's anything that the enemy has brought into your life and it's not pleasing to the Lord, whatever that it might be, Don't allow the deception of your heart to take you to a place that where you're eventually destroyed. You need to open yourself up before the Lord and just call upon the Lord. And that's why every day you need to come into the presence of God. And every day you need to hear from God. Spend time with the Lord so that you won't be led, deceptively led into the path of unrighteousness. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. There's a whole lot in these four verses. Verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that flows out of your life. Amen. You say, oh, I just made a big mistake. I just hit my thumb with a hammer and I took God's name in vain. Well, do you know that that was in your heart? That was in your heart, or it wouldn't have come out. Everything that flows out of your heart, from your heart, are the issues of life. Everything flows out of your heart condition. You notice what he says here. He says what you have to do is you have to attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. This sounds like a command to be diligent in the word of God, a command to stay in the word of God. Don't get away from it. Don't let your eyes get away from it. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in other things, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep the word of God, the truth of God's word, keep it right in the center of your heart. And that's how that you're able to keep your heart with all diligence, protect it and keep you from being taken in by the lies and the deception of the enemy. So what comes out of your mouth is in your heart. Your actions, your attitudes. If a lady dresses in a way that's inappropriate, in a way that's maybe seductive, then they're doing that. It's an expression of the heart. It comes out, reveals itself in our attitudes, our actions, our dress, our speech, everything. It's like it overflows out of your life. It overflows out of your heart. And the real issue is a heart issue. Amen. The real issue is a heart issue. Luke 6 and 45. I'm giving you a lot of verses tonight. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Can't get any plainer than that. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Amen. Out of the treasure of your heart, whatever's in your heart, if you fill up your heart with anger, bitterness, retaliation, whatever that it might be, if you allow all these things to build up in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Anger and malice and all of these different manifestations of the flesh. If your heart is not right, then all these things are just going to flow out. It just happens. That's why you do like it says in Proverbs. You stay before the Lord. You stay in the presence of God. You give much time to the Word of God. You stay in fellowship in the house of God because you need to keep your heart continually saturated with spiritual things, with good things, with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You're out of your heart. It flows out. Your actions, it flows out. You may say, oh, I know I threw that temper tantrum, and that's just who we are. That's kind of our family. That's what we do in our family. Well, you need to get to the root of that problem. Amen. And it may be a family trait to throw temper tantrums, but it's not right. Amen. Amen. It may be something you've seen. Your parents did it, your grandparents did it, and everybody's done it, but now you've been born again. You're born again of the Spirit of God. Your heart has been changed from a hard, stony heart. Now you have a heart of flesh that's responsive to God and the things of God. So that doesn't come out of you anymore. Amen. Praise God. You're changed. You're transformed. That's the issue. The heart is truly the issue. Amen. The next verse, it says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Wow. Pretty strong indictment, isn't it? Jesus is saying, you want to, with one breath, call me Lord and worship me, and with your other words that you don't do what I'm asking you to do. Your worship is pretty meaningless. It really doesn't have any reality to it if you can say, Lord, I belong to you, Lord, but you're not willing to do what God tells you to do. Doesn't mean anything. Your religion is in vain. There was an indictment in Jeremiah chapter 7. I want you to hear this, Jeremiah 7:24. "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." That's what happens when you neglect God, you neglect the house of God, you neglect the Word of God, and you open up your heart to the things of the world and the influences of sin and ungodliness. Then your heart becomes evil and hardened and not responsive to the things of God. And Jeremiah said, you go backward, not forward. You turn away from God. You're going backward in your direction and your life. You don't want that to happen. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them." Now get the picture here. He's indicting these people, these Jews, and saying to them, you have allowed your heart to become evil and you have turned your back on God, and now you're going backward. You're going in a direction that isn't pleasing to the Lord. And from the very beginning, since your fathers came out of Egypt, I have sent you servants, prophets, every day to rise up early. I have sent them to you to warn you. Still, you wouldn't respond. Verse 26, "Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck and did worse than their fathers." That's what happens if you refuse to follow God and follow the things of God. I'm not wanting to just put a bunch of heavy stuff on you here tonight, except I feel compelled in my heart, my spirit, to encourage you to nurture your spiritual walk with the Lord. Make sure that you're spending time with God and time with His Word and time in the presence of God. And don't make excuses for not coming to church. You need to be in the house of God. I found this little quote and actually posted it on my Facebook page. This little lady was old and had arthritis and would make her way to church every service. Her friend observed how faithful she was and said, "How do you do it? How do you get physically to church like you do, as often as you do?" And she said, "Well, I just send my heart ahead. And then my old body, my old physical body, it just follows right behind my heart." Well, that was a neat little account of someone who understands the heart. I remember Brother Huff talking about Sister Stillings. Some of you remember Sister Stillings. She would come to church. She would, if you weren't there in time to pick her up, she would walk to church way up in years. She would walk to the house of God. She was always here, no matter what the weather was or what. She was just here. You could count on Sister Stillings to be in church. And here's the real issue, is that she was almost completely deaf. So, you know, people would say, why go to all that effort and you can't even hear what's going on in the service? And Brother Huff said, I know the answer. Atmosphere. Atmosphere. She might not be able to hear it, but she can feel it. She can feel the presence of God. Her spirit is edified in the presence of God. She comes, she's faithful, and she did all the days of her life like that. Praise God for people like Sister Stillings. What was it? Holly Stillings. Amen. Faithful, faithful, faithful to the house of God. Why did she go to so much effort to get there? Because she sent her heart ahead. She wanted to be there. Her heart was there in the house of the Lord. And I believe that God, He works in our lives and changes our lives and changes our hearts and gives us a desire for the things of God, a love for the things of God. Oh, the power of God's word. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharp. The scripture says in Hebrews, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, it digs deep. I mean, it digs deep. It deals with us. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful whenever I listen to some preacher. I listen to some sermon, and I listen to a lot. Several. Every week, I listen to several. And I'm thankful when I hear the word of God that it does something to me. It works on me. It convicts me. It pierces me. It gets down. It reveals some of my areas of my life where I desperately need to change. And it has set my focus on the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Many of the issues in your life, in my life, in the ministry, in the work of the church are all heart issues. They're heart issues. Amen. It's true. Amen. I've dealt with people before trying to get them to do things that I thought they needed to do. Come to church, do this, do right, live right, pressuring people to do it. And all the while I knew the real problem was deep in their heart. And the only way that was going to change is that there would be this transformation that would take place. God, by His Spirit, would just come rushing into their heart and transform them and change them by the power of God. So by the way, if you're praying for unsaved and backsliders, pray about the condition of their heart. And allow God, maybe through one little event and another event and circumstances of their life, to keep penetrating, working on their heart, and eventually softening that heart and getting them to the place that they will hear the word of God. Amen. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. That's regeneration. That's what it is. It's what it is. That's a big word. It's a big doctrinal word. And you can read entire volumes on the topic of regeneration. But regeneration, in just a little nutshell, is that. What a wonderful change has come into my life since Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Old-fashioned conversion. Turn around. People repenting of their sins and their lives being changed is what I want to see. I long to see that. Even the altars fill up with people confessing and repenting and turning their life over to the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that one day you spoke to me and you dealt with me and you softened my heart and you made me responsive to the things of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that work of grace accomplished in me and in those that are here in this service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for softening our hearts, for dealing with us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would all, Lord, just allow you to work in us and on us.